Okay, once you found your place there in Proverbs chapter 2, we'll be upstanding and reading for the Word of God. And we are going to read from verse 10 tonight. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, and from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they forward in their paths. And to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which fluttereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again hither. Take their hold of the path of life, that thou mayest walk in the ways of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we ask and pray that you'd have your blessing upon your word tonight to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, this is series 6 as we're peering through the Proverbs, coming to the end of chapter 2. And as mentioned, a bit of a review, as we were coming to the end of chapter 1, we saw the cry of wisdom. And beginning from chapter 2, we saw the cry for wisdom. And now we're going to come to a place where we see the result of wisdom. In chapter 1, the ending there, the Bible says, wisdom crieth without, verse 20. Wisdom does not purely speak out, but rather cry out. And as we stated there in chapter 2, in the beginning thereof, there was a cry for wisdom. And as mentioned, this cry wasn't just a casual approach to the Word of God or to the wisdom of God, but would be a calculated one. Verse 3, the Bible says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. And so you see, it's a calculated way. It's a diligent way. And so we come to the point now where we see the result or the benefit, if you would. We can even call it, we can see the protection of wisdom. We come to verse 10 and we see, when wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Understand, wisdom will only take full course in our lives when it falls into our hearts, not only on our heads. It must take full course, and therefore knowledge is sweet to the soul as wisdom enters into the heart. The psalmist said it like this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. And so we see that it must be residing in the heart. Spurgeon said, to know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. You see, people would miss heaven and will end up in hell by 6 inches. You say, what do you mean? Well, 6 inches from the head to the heart. They will miss out on heaven and end up in hell because they didn't apply what they know or apply what they've heard or been taught from their teachers, taught from their parents, taught from their preachers. In Mark chapter 12, we see one of the scribes approached Jesus and said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all thy heart, and with all thy understanding, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Notice what Jesus said to him in verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. 6 inches. You know it all. It's all up here. You answered discreetly. You were right in your answer. But knowledge is only pleasant to the soul when it falls to the when wisdom falls to the heart. When a person takes time to cry out after wisdom of God and search it like hidden treasure, seek it out, search it out, wisdom will be absorbed in their hearts. The knowledge of God will be sweet to their souls for the purpose. Verse 11, note it, without seeing. Discretion shall what? Preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. So we see the result here. Someone wants to get out of church. I'm going to ponder upon here another, I'm going to repeat it here. Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. Amen. That's the result of wisdom. We have protection. The outflow of wisdom is godly discretion that will protect and preserve us. And the result of knowledge of God will give us an understanding that will help us be discerning people, and that we'll be able to make godly decisions so we would not be simply falling in the pitfalls of Satan. We can see when the wiles of the devil come. That's what wisdom's for. It gives us discretion. It gives us understanding. It protects us. Notice verse 4. Protect us from what? Notice the protection which wisdom imparts to a person. To deliver them from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. The evil man. The man that gives ungodly counsel, speaketh froward things. Things perhaps that are immoral, things perhaps that are falsehood, false teachings. Paul warns Timothy time and time again to keep away from these men that want to cause up strife and put doubt in the believer's mind. These men that speak forward things, they're puffed up in their knowledge. Notice how David puts it in Psalm 36 in verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Notice verse 3. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in the way that is not good, and he abhorreth not evil. Evil people do not fear God, and it's evident by their speech and by their lifestyle. That's what David said. But look, it's evident to me that this man does not fear God. There's no fear of God in his eyes. A godly man once said, evil men are advocates for Satan. They plead for Baal. They pervert the right ways of the Lord. And blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but rather his counsel is from the very word of God. Amen. The evil man gives ungodly counsel, but also he's given to change. Notice verse 13. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Now, not having the truth is one thing. Being ignorant of God's word is one thing. But having the truth and knowing the truth and then deciding to reject the truth, to walk in the way of darkness, is another thing. The reason this takes place is because they love their sin more than God. Jesus said it in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh into the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Let me just say this tonight. Be careful now from used-to-be Christians. Be careful from the disgruntled Christians that speak negatively about God's word and cast down upon it. Be careful of the tares that try to pull you down to do evil and reject the word of God. To have the truth and to reject it is evil. It's one thing to be ignorant of it, but it's another thing to know it and then to walk in the ways of darkness. Proverbs 24, verse 1, the Bible says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King,
And mingle not with them that are given to change. I want to encourage you tonight. Don't go in the way of a forward man. By the way, the Bible teaches us to be rejecting those people that are always giving to change. Those people that are never have stability in their convictions or the Word of God. They cast doubt on the Word of God. They believe some of the Word of God, but not all of the Word of God. They pick and choose what they want to do and have influence and will affect you. Very subtle. Be careful of the tares that will pull you down from accepting the Word of God. They are infected themselves and they desire to poison everyone around them. It's like a bad apple in a box. You know what I mean? One bad apple influences the other apples. It's like poison. And this is what the evil man does. And God wants to give us
discretion to simply steer away from evil men that speak forward things and that are given to change. But also, that glorifies sin, that glorifies sinful choices. Proverbs 2:14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they're forward in their paths. I mean, they take time and take pleasure to sin, both committing it and those other people that commit it. I mean, they love to sin and they love to see other people sin. Please understand this, Christian. The forward and evil man just would love to see you fall into sin and be unuseful for God. He'd love it. He'd love it if you'd be on the shelf somewhere and be useless and ineffective for God. He rejoices in that. He rejoices to see you go down the wrong path. Be careful and understand, let me say to those that are not Christians, the evil man rejoices to see you reject the truth, Jesus Christ, who is the source of wisdom, and see you go to hell. That's the world. That's the evil world. That's the ways of the culture. That's the ways of Satan. Why do you think they oppose the gospel? They delight in their sinfulness and in their decisions. Someone once said that they are pleased with the devil's kingdom when he gets ground. They rejoice like Satan himself in doing wrong and so draw their fellow sinners into the net. Paul makes mentions in Romans chapter 1 verse 32 regarding these evil people. We don't have time to spend there, but he says, that these people who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only that do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. When we read the Old Testament, you always see the children of Israel being enticed by the ungodly nations surrounding them. And we even see Asaph, a song leader, being influenced and envious at the prosperity of the wicked. And we see Demas forsaking the ministry for the pleasures of this wicked world. And when you do, you won't have perhaps the evil man giving you some sort of love and rebuke because of it. He'll just pamper you while you go down your little slippery dip. As a matter of fact, he will rejoice at your fall. They take pleasure in sin and they sin themselves. Understand tonight, God's wisdom and his word will protect us from the evil man that wants to cause us to simply follow their pernicious ways. And not only from the evil man, but second of all tonight, from the strange woman. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger with flattereth with her words. The strange woman in the word of God, and specifically in this context, would be simply someone that is an adulterous woman. Many a times the strange woman will be an adulterous woman. See her description. She is flirtatious. She is one that flattereth with her words. She speaks swelling words. She tells the man how much she respects him above every man. and what feelings that she has for him, and she flatters him with her words. She doesn't care for his soul or whatever may take place or whatever family she might destroy. She doesn't care about that. She will say anything to get her way, like Delilah would say anything to get in the heart of Samson. Proverbs 5:3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. She will manipulate her way in other men's lives. Oh, Samson, don't you love me, Samson? If you love me, share your deepest secrets with me, Samson. Oh, man, don't you love me? If you love me, you'd leave your wife for me. Strange woman. Strange woman. Oh, don't you love me? If you love me, you won't make me cry. She's a manipulative woman. She has fair speech. She manipulates her way into men's lives to destroy them. Genesis 39, verse 9, the Bible says, there is none greater in the house than I. This is Joseph. Neither have he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. And how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? They're Joseph's words. When Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. She says, how can I do this and sin against God? Man, let me encourage you. Next time she comes your way, put on the running shoes of Joseph and head for the hills. Man, get out of there. She's very subtle, smooth in her speech. She's strange. She's flirtatious. But not only that, she forsakes. Notice verse 17. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth. Her guide. Many commentaries may say her guides being her authorities, her parents. She forsakes the teachings that perhaps her godly parents embedded in her. She forsakes all that she's been taught morally or from the very word of God. She forsakes that. But I think it's quite right to say, within the context of what's taking place in Proverbs chapter 2, it would be more right to say that she forsakes her husband, the one that led her and the one that guides her, the one that will simply love her. But one day he's not good enough. And she decides that she doesn't want to be under his authority anymore. She forsakes him. Let me encourage you, children, if it is in the context of authority of your parents, let me encourage you tonight, honor your parents. Don't forget the godly input that they have had in your lives. Please, I beg you. I beg you. Don't feel that you reach to the point of your lives and you think, now I'm free. I'm free. I no longer have to have these rules. I no longer have to have these guides. I don't no longer have to have this authority. Let me just say to you today, if you have godly parents, they're only there to protect you. Solomon was speaking to his son. My son. He's just caring for his soul. Because there are people out there that desire your soul. They want to destroy your soul, whether you know it or not. That's the reality of it. There's evil men that want to manipulate ladies and take advantage of them. And there's evil women that want to do the same. They want to break the family. They want to break the lives of people, of men. They want to destroy lives. They don't care about others. All they do is they want to care about themselves. And all I'm saying to you is, don't forget the teachings of your parents, your authority, of your pastor, those that have an influence in your life to teach you the word of God. Don't forget that. Don't forget it. She forgot it. She forsakes it. Wives, let me just say something. But before I do, let me give you a verse. Proverbs 1:8 and verse 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Remember, we touched on this in chapter 1. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Wow. What a precious, precious kind of jewelry you can wear. Amen. To not forget the teachings, the godly influence that your parents have simply raised you up with. Wives, love your husband. Don't forsake his leadership and guidance in your life. Love him and submit to his guide. Don't forsake it. I mean, we understand that we may learn some patterns or characteristics from this strange woman. I'm not saying to you tonight that you will even dare, as a blood-bought Christian, and I hope that you won't, to be a strange woman, but I'm just saying that we can exemplify some of these characteristics. And we don't want to do that, amen? We want to just simply say, no, I'm not going to forsake my authority which God has put in my life. Strange woman, she's flirtatious. She forsakes, but then she forgets. Notice verse 17, the end of that verse. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Not only she forsakes her guide, but now she forgets her God. It's not only her husband that she's sinned against, but it's God who will judge the whoremongers and adulterers because of they despise the oath and break the covenant of God. She forgets and ignores the building or the binding, if you would, covenant of marriage given by God. She doesn't care about it anymore. And how is it true today? People are actually chucking parties when they get divorced. There is a company that is set now in Queensland that you can call them up. And when you get divorced, you ring them up and they'll just bring you strippers to come in. They'll bring you alcohol and champagne and they celebrate. You say, is that true? Absolutely. They're having a wonderful time for this covenant being broken. They forget about God and they forget about their vows before God, better for worse, for richer or for poorer, for sickness and in health. They forget about death do us part. They forget about the covenant of God. And she would forget about her covenant which she made before God. This is actually a good reminder for us, husband and wives, that would remember our vows. Amen. In Ecclesiastes 5:4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. It's amazing how when two people are about to get married, they're so excited and they work on their vows and they spend all night and they can't wait to give them. But as time goes on, they forget them. Please, please don't forget your vows. Young people, let me just encourage you. Don't enter marriage lightly. If you think you're going to have this separate life when you get married, you know, that you can still live it up and have a good time being single, whatever it is that you do, no. You're going to marry that person and you're going to be with that person. You become one. You don't live separate lives. You become one. And so it's an important factor. I'm not trying to discourage you from marriage. Marriage is a beautiful thing and it's honorable, wonderful. God ordained marriage. But you got to understand that when you go into it, you've got to remember your vows, that you're pledging your life to that person. You can't forget the covenant which you make, the covenant which you will give to that other person before God, a binding covenant. But perhaps she also forgets the covenant of grace that God is willing to impart to her through the gospel, because we know that there were many adulterous women there that were confronted by Jesus Christ. Amen. And he was willing to impart his grace. But it looks like this woman would even forget the covenant of God's grace in her life and would say, no, I don't want it. How sad. How sad. For someone to grow up in a home and hear the gospel and know the truth, reject it, forget it. How sad. She forgets. Let me encourage you tonight, if you're not here, if you're here and you're not saved, please, don't forget the gospel that has been working in your life ever since you heard it. If God is working in your heart, respond. If God is working in your heart and He's calling you and wanting you to repent and trust Him, respond. Don't forget the tugging of God in your life and how He draws you by His grace. You say, I'll leave it a little longer. I'll just wait another day. I've just got to do a couple of things. Don't forget the working of God and the invitation that He gives you. Your heart will only get harder as you grow. You'll be influenced by evil men that will pull you away from the Word of God and from the Gospel of God. I've seen it in 11 years. I've seen it. It's a terrible sight. It's a terrible thing. It's a sad thing. That you see someone that has so much potential to be all that God wants them to be and to give them the grace in their lives to make him a godly man or a godly woman and to be someone that will simply follow the Lord, and they say, no, forget it. I want to forsake it and I want to forget it and I want my own way. We're going to come down to the conclusion that they'll be cut off. Their end would be dreadful. And as we said in the beginning of going through these series of Proverbs, a wise person will consider the end of their decision. Let's say you got it made. Let's say you lived your life and you gained the whole world. You did what you wanted to do without God. You went and you got married without God. And you went and you had your career without God. And you went and you lived your life and you traveled the world without God. And then you lost your soul. Terrible. Terrible. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? And then he says, what are you actually giving in exchange? Is it worth it? Absolutely not. It's not worth it. No way in the world. No way in the world. Don't forsake. Don't forget. And then we see that she's a strange woman. She's not only flirtatious, she forsakes, she forgets, but she's fatal. Notice verse 18, for her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead. Man, she has potential to destroy you. She is fatal. She can bring death in your marriage and ministry and lives. She can utterly destroy you. Many houses have been broken. Families destroyed by her. Ministries. Men of God coming back from the field. She has the power to destroy you and leave you for dead. Someone once said, those that live in forbidden pleasures are dead while they live. Yes. When you go and you enter into those realms, those deadly, you know, choice, and it is, when you enter into that deadly choice and you give yourself to the strange woman, my friend, that it's hard to pay back. It's hard to say, oh, look, the Bible even speaks about it. He says, oh, don't despise a thief. Because if you catch him, he can pay you back seven times over. But what are you going to do if you're caught with a strange woman, another man's wife? How can you repay him? No way in the world. Destroy your soul. Destroy your life. Destroy your family. Destroy your ministry. It's not worth it. For her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead. Notice if you would, go to Proverbs chapter 7. This is so important. If you'll come to realize that the Bible not only speaks of this here, but you'd come to 5, 6, and 7, and we're going to see this over and over again. And you say, well, are we going to skip it? We've already spoken about this. I don't think we ought to skip any verse. If God is repeating a matter, He's basically telling us this is important. And we'll get to chapter 7 soon, but notice what it says there in verse 25. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Again, in this context, speaking about the strange woman. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. I think the greatest example was there, Samson. Notice verse 27. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Someone said, let the sufferings of others be our warning. Another good way to obtain wisdom, amen? I mean, it's one thing to obtain wisdom when we learn from our mistakes, but it's another thing to be wiser and learn from other people's mistakes so we don't enter into that sin that would just simply demolish us, destroy us. I mean, by the way, that's one sin that you don't want to enter in. You don't want to learn the hard way. Proverbs 2, verse 19. None that go unto her return again. Man, this is heavy. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. It's almost like they cannot be restored. A man of God said their repentance and their recovery are extremely hazardous. None or next to none that go unto her return again. It is very rare that any who are caught up in this snare of the devil recover themselves. So much is in the heart, so much is the heart hardened and the mind blinded by the deceitfulness of sin. King David was forgiven, but he lost a lot. I'm not just saying to you and advocating that Bathsheba was a strange woman, but I'm talking about the sin of David when he entered into adultery. God said to him, man, I've given you all this and I couldn't have given you more. David, what'd you do? Sometimes we can't recover out of some certain, we can be forgiven, but man, we lose a lot. One of the greatest things coming up to be a young preacher and pastor, and no doubt the devil had a target on me, was one of these things. I remember sharing that story with you. I won't share it with you tonight, but mate, never, it's never happened to me. Never in my life. And I anticipate it will happen again. I'm putting those shoes on. See you later. I'm not going to give you any chance. No, zero. Because I know the flesh. Yep. And I know the Word of God. And the Word of God is there to help me get out. Amen. And just get out. Many a times people are caught up in the net because they linger there. They're not in God's will. And they're destroyed. Target, the bird that comes out of her nest. It's easy for the hunter to come and shoot that bird. Proverbs 2:20. Notice that thou mayest walk in the way of good men. It says, this wisdom that I'm imparting to you, that you'll be delivered from the evil man, you'll be delivered from the strange woman, and that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Yep. Go quickly to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. And notice verse 20. He that walketh with the wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be. There you go. And to be wise is to hearken unto wisdom, to cry after it, to search for it, to simply have it in our hearts, that it may give us discretion and understanding, that will deliver us from the evil men, deliver us from the strange woman, that we may walk with them that know God, be encouraged. Walking with the wise helps us. Iron sharpeneth iron. Those that are ordered by the Lord, their steps, yes, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, not by the world, by the Lord, by his word. And he delighteth in his way. Notice verse 21. Notice the blessing. We can say now it's the results of wisdom, the protection of wisdom. We can even call it now the blessing of wisdom. Amen. The blessings of wisdom. Might even change that title. Could the blessings of wisdom. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect, or the one that is matured, complete, one that is simply abounding in the work of the digging up of the scriptures, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The upright shall dwell in the land, the perfect shall remain in it. But notice what happens to the wicked. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. There is full assurance for those that have the word of God as their guide. There's no doubt about that. But there is destruction for those that do not seek after God's word, do not cry after God's knowledge, do not seek to have the mind of God. There's destruction for them. But thank God, if we follow after his wisdom, his word, he's able to deliver us. And then he's able to bless us. The blessings of wisdom. Praise God. I pray that it would be your prayer tonight that you would say, I want to cry for wisdom, so I'll get the blessings from it. I want to search after wisdom. I want to search after God's word. I want to go after the knowledge of God, so I'll be blessed by God. God will protect my life. How fatal is it for you parents to invest your life in teaching your children the word of God? Very, very important. And I pray, but by God's grace, as Solomon taught his son the wisdom of God, that you will teach your children, and you also be teachable to learn from God's word, that you may have the result of wisdom, or with the protection of wisdom, we say this, the blessings of wisdom in your life. Let's pray. Maybe you're here tonight, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here tonight and you say, I'm not 100% that if I die today or tonight, I'd go to heaven. But I sure want to be getting my assurance. I don't want to have these doubts plaguing my heart time and time again. Nor do I want to forget the grace of God and how he's been working in my life. I don't want to have it up here and know it all. I want to bring it down to my heart where it actually would cause me to be born again. The incorruptible of the Word of God. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure that if I die, I'd go to heaven, but I want to be sure. Anyone like that tonight? I want to pray for you. Just slip up your hand. I'll pray for you. Anyone like that? Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, I don't want to treat the Word of God in a casual way. I want to treat it in a calculated way where I cry for it. I search after it like hidden treasures. And so I can get the blessings, the result, the protection from the Word of God. Wisdom cries out, I want to respond. And I want to search after the wisdom of God when it calls me to come. If God's calling you to do something, to obey, to get something out of your life, I want to give you an opportunity tonight. Maybe God's spoken to you regarding some things. Maybe tonight you'd make a decision, say, I want to get rid of that. Maybe tonight you make some decision that you say, I want to bring some of these things into my life. I want to walk with the wise. I want to spend more time in the Word. Whatever it is, God spoke to your heart. Whatever decision that you make, give you a few minutes. And then we close off with prayer and a hymn.